Today, I want to share a little bit about the application of living like Jesus. Matthew 20, 26, Jesus saying, "But that's not the way it's going to be among you. Whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant." He's talking to his disciples because they were scrambling like many do in our culture to get to the top of the ladder, climbing over each other on their way up. No, it's not the way it's going to be among you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Then he goes on to say in Mark 10, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen." You may be seated. I think you were given a worksheet when you came in. Hope you'll use it. We do this on Wednesdays quite a bit. It's very helpful because all the Air Force studies have proven that within 24 hours, you'll forget over 90% of what you hear right now. Pretty discouraging, huh? For the guy who's doing it. But if you write it down as well as hear it, well, then your ability to retain it incrementally skyrockets. And instead of only 10% of recall, you'll have upwards of a quarter of what you hear recalled and applied in your life. So use your worksheets. Some say that the secret of greatness is connections and influence. And if you went to Wall Street and you asked the people on Wall Street, what's the secret of greatness? They'd say financial clout, a big portfolio. God says my definition is very different. God says none of those things that you just mentioned are going to last. You aren't even going to remember them in eternity. And God says what's going to last is service. God says the secret of a great life, you're never going to be great until you learn to serve. That's a kingdom principle, not a cultural principle. And we've got to learn that we are citizens of his kingdom, and we need to learn to live by principles of his kingdom. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all the others. You want to circle the word great and circle the word servant in that sentence. Those are two important words that Jesus spoke. The Bible says those go together. And we all know that great teachers serve their students. We know that great salespeople serve their customers. I learned that from Dad a long time ago. We know that the key to being a great leader is to serve fellow leaders and followers. The key to being great at anything, a great manager serves the workers and employees. God says the way up is down. The more you serve, the greater you are in his kingdom. I couldn't help but think of Mother Teresa and what a heart she had to serve people, going to places most of us wouldn't visit, let alone live. And I thought about the kind of character she had, the character of Jesus. If I were to ask you what two words best define the Christian life, you can summarize all of Christianity with two words, and I'd pick the words give and serve. Give and serve. That should be reflective of who we are. That's what Jesus did. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." So you have the words serve others and give his life in that sentence. That summarizes the Christian life. And unless I learn how to serve others and unless I learn how to give my life away, I'm not going to be like Jesus, not going to live like him. I may claim to be a Christian. I may have doctrine that's good or thoughts and ideas in my heart. But if I'm not really truly a believer unless I learn to serve and I learn to give. So we're going to do a little interaction near the end of the message today. That's kind of a buzzword. I could give you a nice little sweet message on service and give you a few points, and you'd go home and get in your car and, you know, you'd forget all about it because 10% of it would be gone by tomorrow night. But what I want you to do is actually be a part of this. So later on, we're going to ask you to fill out some things and work in this worksheet while we're going along to reinforce the word that God's given me to share with you. The Bible says in the book of James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. God says, I don't want you to just listen to what I say. I want you to act on it, apply it. I want you to work it out. So today we're going to have an opportunity to change our community and to change our world, to influence our culture, to become difference makers at a level we've never been before. All of us have an opportunity to become doers of the word in this service and from this point forward. But before we do that, I want to clarify the reasons why the Bible says we should give our lives in service to God and to other people, and why that should be the number one priority for the believer who claims to be a part of the kingdom over our careers, over our hobbies, over everything else in life. God says the top priority in our lives after loving God and getting to know him should be serving other people. And why does he say that? Well, I'm going to give you a dozen reasons today. And since I have 12 points in this message, next Sunday, my message will be pointless. So, why I should serve and give my life to Jesus, right? Give my life to serving God and others. Number one, I was created for service. I was created for service. That's why God built us. God made us for purpose. I was designed for service. It says in Ephesians, for we are God's workmanship. So the next time you try to demean what God has created, be careful. God's workmanship created, there's a key word there, created, you want to circle that, in Jesus Christ to do what? Good works. That's called ministry. That's service, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God planned on us doing the work that was assigned us. God designed everything on this earth for purpose. He made dogs to act like dogs. Cows do their cowly thing, and then they get eaten. Bees have a function that they're supposed to do. And when you learn about the birds and the bees, you know, you learned that from Pastor Michael last Sunday. He covered that. You won't have to hear that from me. The Bible says you were put on this earth for a reason. Human beings are here to serve. We are here to help one another, to develop relationship and connection. Human beings are here to help this, to make this world a better place. And God said, I created you for ministry, for service. The other day, I found a flashlight that I needed, and I turned it on and it wouldn't work. Ever have that experience? Yeah. I hadn't used it in a long time. I kind of had it buried in the back of a drawer. And when I opened it up, the batteries had corroded and leaked all over the place. So not only were the batteries ruined, the flashlight was ruined. Why? Batteries are made to be used. Human beings are made for service. And when we're not used in helping other people, when we're not being used in serving, we get corroded and ruined on the inside. Self-centeredness will corrode us. God says, I was created for service. So we can't just sit by and go, well, that looks nice, and just watch. Number two, I'm saved for service. 2 Timothy 1, it is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. What's holy work? It's called ministry. Another word for that is service. Anytime you see the word service in the Bible, it's the same word as ministry. Anytime you see the word ministry in the Bible, it's the same word as service. So when you see the word servant, it's the same word as minister. So when you see the word minister, it's the same word as servant. The two are identical. The Bible says you were saved to serve. And God didn't put us on this earth to take up space, to sit around and watch TV, eat chips, and have a good old time, and then die. Have you ever thought why, in the moment that we became a Christian, God doesn't just zap us and take us instantly to heaven. You know, I mean, if we're not going to have any reason for being here, why don't you just do that when we become born again? Why did God leave us here in the moment? Why doesn't God just remove us when we become believers? You know where you're going to eventually end up because we have the promises of God. So he's left us here between the moment we become a follower and the moment we step over that line into eternity. He's left us here for a reason. He's got something for us to do. And part of that involves your ministry and your service. We are left here for a reason. I was watching a talk show, and they had some bodybuilders on. And one guy all buffed up, you know, I mean, muscles are just rippling. The skin now has no real fat under it because they bake themselves in the sun and sweat all that out, and they take whatever necessary stuff they need to take to get those muscles extra large. And the talk show host said, well, what are those muscles for? What do you use them for? And the guy positioned himself, and he struck a pose. And the crowd went wild. The audience is all clapping because he's showing off his muscles. Then the talk show host said, that's great, but what do you use those muscles for? So the guy struck another pose, and the crowd's cheering and clapping. But the host kept insisting, yes, but what do you use those muscles for? And the guy posing there looked bewildered. He didn't have an answer. The fact was he had no use for those muscles. He had muscles for the sake of having muscles. Let me ask you, why do you build spiritual muscle? Why do you come to church? Why do you read his word? Why do you join a connection group? Why do you pray? Why do you develop spiritual muscle? Just to say, I've got it. Look at my Bible biceps. Really? The Bible teaches us very clearly that maturity is for ministry. Maturity is never an end in itself. I don't get mature and grow in the Lord so I can feel good about myself. You say, well, I want to be a mature Christian. You'll never be a mature Christian until you start ministering. Maturity is for ministry. Muscles have a reason. They're to be used. Number three, I've been called by God to serve us. I'm not only created for it and saved for it, I'm called by God for service. The phrase God's call. I remember hearing that, and I've used it in mentoring others going into the ministry. And some people kind of in their thinking process think, well, that's just for special people like missionaries who are called, or priests who are called, or pastors who are called, or nuns who are called to some special service. Well, that's true as far as a full-time call to ministry is concerned and leadership skill sets and positions. But listen, you're going about life and you're going to come to a meeting of a lot of believers that you want to commit yourself to and join yourself to and be a part of in the family of God. And as you do that, God says, I have a purpose for you growing within the body of Christ. And he said, you are called by God, which means from now on, I must serve him the rest of my days. That's the call that God puts on everybody in the body of Christ. And the truth is, the Bible says, every Christian is called to varying purposes and functions in the body. The Bible says the call to salvation and the call to service are identical. The moment you signed up and said, yes, I want to go to heaven, I want my sins forgiven, you also said, and I'm willing to serve you for the rest of my days. They are not indistinguishable. If you're a Christian, you're called to ministry. At some level, you're called to ministry. And the Bible says every Christian is called to serve. Every member in God's family is a minister. Not everybody is a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher, but everybody is a minister. And what is a minister? A servant. What's a servant? Somebody who serves. And anytime you use your abilities to help other people in the name of Jesus, you are ministering to them. So when you print up your business card, it ought to have your name, and then right after it, servant of Jesus Christ. Because that's who we are. The Bible says we've been called to serve. Every Christian is called to serve. Number four, I've been gifted for service. He didn't just call me, he equipped me. I've been gifted for service. God didn't give you your talents to spend on yourself and retire and die. God gave you those abilities to help others. 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure you use them to make a lot of money. Oh, wait, that's the reviled substandard perversion. Doesn't say that. Okay. Be sure you use your abilities to feather your nest egg. No. It says, be sure you use your abilities to help each other. That's called ministry. That's called service. If you've given your life to Jesus, the Bible says God gave you abilities so that you could help other people and be a blessing to others. That's a building block in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 4, each of you have received a gift to use to serve others. Are you listening? Number 5, I'm commanded to serve others. Uh-oh. Now he's getting down in my life. Yeah, he is. Because I'm not my own. He bought me. And he's my master. And he commands me to serve others. That's good enough reason alone, if that's the only reason. If God says, do it, I'm commanded by my master to do it. Matthew 20, Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own. So when you just bristled when I said to you that God commands us to do it, then Jesus right there says, your attitude must be like my own. If you bristled, you need an attitude adjustment. For I did not come to be served, but to serve. Ooh, circle must. Attitude must. What does that mean? I got to get aligned to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, right? This is not an option. Service for a Christian is not optional. I don't want that. I like going to heaven, but I don't care about serving. That's not optional. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. To call myself a follower of Jesus and not be involved in ministry, God said that's a contradiction of everything I know, believe, and have established in my kingdom. It cannot be. To be a Christian means I have the attitude of Jesus, and he says, I came to serve. Human nature doesn't want to serve other people. It wants to be served. Human nature says, always focus on who's going to serve me. When I look at life from my own viewpoint, I say, who's going to meet my needs? Oh my, here we go. Now it's getting in the weeds, right? Watch this. This is an attitude issue. Who's going to meet my needs? Who's going to help me? Who's going to help my hurts? Who's going to stand there for me, me, me? But the Christian worldview, kingdom, changes all that around. The Christian says, whose needs can I meet? Whom can I help? How can I serve? If you're still in the who's going to meet my needs stage, you haven't grown very much in your walk with Jesus. You're spiritually immature. The mature Christian says, whose needs can I meet? Because they realize the more I give my life away, the more God blesses my life. Whatever you want more of, put seed in that soil. When I'm concerned about the needs of other people, God takes care of mine. A mature Christian is interested in service. An immature Christian is interested in serve us. There's a big difference. God says, I'm commanded to serve others. If I have no desire to help anybody else, I ought to really question whether I'm born again or not. Because if I haven't had a change of heart, like Jesus tells me in the Word, and I have no interest in doing anything but riding this boat ride to heaven, I need to question my born again experience and get myself back to first love with Jesus. Number 6, It proves that I belong to Christ. Romans 7, you are part of the body of Christ and you belong to him in order that we might be useful in the service of God. He didn't save you just to get you to heaven. He saved you so that through you others can be blessed. So circle body there, part of the body. In the New Testament church, when they would welcome new members, I love reading about the history of the New Testament church and going back to see how simple yet profound they were in their ability to share the love of the Lord and have impact. They were impact players everywhere they went with the gospel. And it says, when somebody would be born again in the early days of Christianity, the historians like Josephus, they'd scroll this all forward for us. They would welcome the new member into the body of Christ, the family of God, and they would say, welcome. Jesus now has a new set of eyes to see with. Jesus now has a new pair of ears to hear with and listen to the hurts of others. Jesus has a new pair of hands with which he can help others. Jesus now has a new heart to love others with because you're all a part of the body. Ministry, not attendance. Well, I showed up. Be thankful I showed up. No, ministry is evidence that Christ is in us. The Bible says that one of the purposes of pastors is to help get you ready for ministry in life. That's why God put you here. That's why you're in the family. Number 7, my church family needs my service. My church family needs my service. Absolutely, 100%. It's needed. It's necessary. 1 Corinthians, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. What a powerful statement that is, which means every one of us carries part of the load. Every one of us shares the burden. Every one of us picks up what we're supposed to and carries it. Yet we are all together as we function that way, we become one body. That's an unstoppable force. So look at the word necessary and circle that in that scripture. Necessary. You are necessary. You're part of the body of Christ. You are necessary part of the family of God. Necessary. What happens in your life when one part of your body stops functioning? You get sick. And you could die if one part of your body doesn't function. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're a part of the body of Christ. If you're not functioning, it makes the rest of us sick. We're weakened by that. It makes an unhealthy body. What if you got a text message from your liver, and your liver said, I don't feel like functioning for the next part of the year. I just want to sit and be fed. Oh, really? You'd say, what kind of liver are you? Get back to work. You got to function or none of us are going to live. What if your heart texted you or your kidneys or your spleen? Well, I don't feel like functioning in the body right now. I just want to be fed. You'd say, get back to work. A non-functioning body part is not doing its job, not pulling its weight, not serving in its purpose. You say, well, maybe we don't need that body part. No, God says we're all needed and all necessary. We're all needed in the body of Christ. He assembled us the way he did by purpose and design. The strength of Calvary Christian Center is not the pastors of the church. It's the people in ministry who serve throughout the body of Christ. That's the heartbeat of the church. We're coaches. The heartbeat is the people on the field playing to overwhelm the enemy. Amen? Number 8, serving others is the way to serve God. Serving others is the way to serve God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for me. It's the Lord you're serving. And so sometimes when that attitude gets and you get grumpy about, I don't have to do that. No, remember who you're serving because he's hearing that. Oh, yeah, he's hearing that. And you're doing this for me and you got an attitude about it? Really? After what I did for you? Uh-oh. No, Jesus said, whatever you do for others, you're doing for me. Even a cup of cold water given in my name is done as unto me. The king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's pretty powerful stuff. Whew. Oh, boy. If I'm not serving others, I'm not serving God. Not the way he designed us. Number 9, because I owe everything to Christ. I owe everything. The next breath I just draw, I owe to him. Romans 12, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. What a phenomenal passage, statement of understanding. I owe everything to you, Lord. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for me. And even if he never did anything else for me, I owe him my life. Because the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die. That be me. But he said, no. Let me die for you. I owe him my life. I owe him everything. I don't serve God out of duty. I don't serve God out of fear. I don't serve God out of some kind of guilt. I don't serve him because I'm angry. I serve God out of gratitude. I owe him everything. He saved my life. I'm going to get to live forever in eternity because of what he did. All my sins are forgiven. He gives me power to live in the right now present. Because of that, I want to serve him out of gratitude and joy, not out of duty, because I owe him my life. Number 10, because service makes life meaningful. Jesus did it like this. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. That's the happiest time of life, when you know what you're doing is serving him, serving others, and you know that's accruing for you in eternity. There is nothing more satisfying than doing that kind of work. You're going to give your life away for something. Everybody here, you're going to give your life away for something. Some people give their life away for a career. They get a gold watch at the end. Big deal. Some people give their life away to get a big bank account. Some people give their life away to get some kind of a thrill or some kind of pleasure, or to find out of it some sense of, well, now I know who I am and I feel good about myself. Listen, some level of status, to get their name or their picture in some magazine, or to accomplish some kind of human achievement. You're going to give your life for something. The question is, are you going to give your life for the right thing? How much is it going to matter in eternity? That's what needs to be weighed in our choices and decisions. How much is it going to matter in forever? When you die, is it going to matter at all? A friend of mine went home to be with Jesus this last week, and Charisma magazine editor Stephen Strang knew him, and I've known Neil since I was a kid in church. His dad and mom used to come to my church and preach revivals when I was a young boy, and they wrote about Neil in this article and posted it, and what a phenomenal tribute to a guy who consistently, thoroughly, completely served God and served others, was a difference maker. There's a national minister of which Neil Ghost wrote half of the books this man has ever published. Never once put his name anywhere to get credit for it, because he just used the gift God gave him to make everybody else go to the top and succeed and find favor with others. That's what matters in eternity. A person who serves, how much is it going to matter? Everybody's trying to figure out how to live longer right now. That's not the real issue. It's not how long you live that matters. It's how you live that matters. It's not the duration of your life. It's the donation of your life. And if you're not going to use your life in service, why should God even let us live through next week? God doesn't owe us another single minute of life. And if we're not going to use our lives for His plan, doing what He created us for, why in the world should He just let us live? Just to use up resources? It's not the duration, it's not how long, but it's how we live. And if you're going to use your life in serving God and others, you're going to use it to fulfill His plan, then that means He's not through with you. When people live for themselves, they eventually get bored and feel unfulfilled. On the other hand, when you know God's plan for your life and you start to say, God, I don't know it all yet, but I'm going to start serving you in the simplest of ways. I can pick up a trash bag, just giving back something from my life. It brings fulfillment, satisfaction, and significance. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever without value. Powerful, phenomenal statement. Can you say that about everything else you've got yourself into and distracted by? No. A lot of what you and I do is of no value in the long term. But nothing you do in the Lord's work is ever without value. Number 11, I will be held accountable for my service. And now it really gets deep, because I will be held accountable, and so will everybody in the room. One day, God's going to have me stand before Him, and He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Whoo! The talent, the ability. Did you use it to help anybody? Were you ever unselfish? Did you give anything back, or did you become a taker? Were you ever a giver and you did something totally unselfish and you got no personal benefit out of it? You just did it. You did it unselfishly. What did you do with what I gave you? And He's got every right to ask me that, because He made me, created me, gave me life, and planned my existence from before I was born. And He will call me to account. Well, I'm sorry, God. I got kind of busy, and I had some plans and goals that I thought would be really cool for me, so I really never got around to fulfilling the plan You had for me. I was just too busy to have any ministry time. You know, it was inconvenient. You know, I had other things I wanted to do. And God's going to say, hello? What were you thinking? Did you think I put you on that planet just for yourself? That the real joy I intended for you was found in giving yourself away? Wrong answer. What were you thinking? I will be accountable one day. I can imagine getting to heaven and Jesus saying, when I went to earth to come looking for you, my purpose was to give and to serve. And I did exactly what my Father wanted. And by the way, can you say the same for yourself? Well, there's one more reason. I need to make giving my life away in service to others my number one priority after knowing God, number 12, because I will be rewarded for eternity. I will be rewarded for eternity. John 12, my Father will honor anyone who serves me. Powerful statement Jesus makes there. My Father will honor anyone who serves me. God's planning a big celebration party in heaven. It's going to be an eternal one. It's going to last forever. And the reward that He passes out is going to last forever. And one of the rewards you're going to get in heaven for your service on earth is you'll be trusted with greater responsibility throughout the millennial reign of Jesus and then throughout eternity in his vast kingdom, of which we see no end in its scope. So his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It makes the heart of my master happy when I have done what he's asked me to do and fulfilled his purpose in my life." So just for an effect, I want us to read these 12 reasons aloud so they get a little better ingrained together. Because if somebody would say to you, "Why in the world should you put your ministry of serving other people and serving God by serving others at the top of your to-do list? That those things should be at the top." Why would you answer them and say that's important? And so look at the screen, because we're going to read these together aloud. "Because I was created for service, I am saved for service, I've been called by God to service, I've been gifted for service, I'm commanded to serve others, it proves I belong to Christ, my church family needs my service, serving others is the way to serve God, because I owe everything to Christ, because service makes my life meaningful, and I will be held accountable for my service, because it will be rewarded for eternity." Can you stop and say, thank God? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Yes. So, what are we going to do about this? In light of what God says to us, that we were made for this, saved for this, gifted for this, and all that we looked at, we're not talking about some little side issue. We're talking about the most important thing in your Christian life, following God's plan for his kingdom. What are we going to do? Are we going to be a hearer of God's word today? Or are we going to be doers? Are we going to get up off of our blessed assurance and do something? Or are we going to sit around and sit and soak and then sour until Jesus comes back? You've got two options. You can walk out of here, go get in your car and say, "We're getting out a few minutes early today. Great." And you can drive off and have brunch and do zip. You think God brought you here today for that? You think God brought you here this morning just to tickle your ears? Or you can do something about it, knowing this is the very thing God put us on earth for. So here comes the interactive part of this message, the doing part. There's no excuse not to find something. It may not be the ultimate ministry you have, but you can start somewhere. So inside your information document, there's this little half sheet of paper, and it says, "Today I want to get involved in." And there you can fill out a check here, a check there, your name, your email, and your phone number at the bottom. Your name, your email, your phone number, with a box or two checked. If you've been involved in any kind of ministry in the past, maybe in another church before you came here, you can check that box. "Well, I've been involved in something like that. Let me check that box. I'd like to do that here too." Write down something that you might have a desire to do in serving Jesus and his church. And then when you're done with that, you can write down where it says other, if you want to explain a little bit more, or just write a sentence there. There's all kinds of things that we can do. And these are just part of what can be done. Part. This is not exhaustive. It's just partial. But you can fill in the blank. If you don't see what you think interests you, but you do have an interest in serving, write it down. It can be one or two words. Just write it down. Then put your name, your email, your phone number. And when you leave, either hand it to an usher or go out to the Connect Center in the lobby and put it on that desk. Say, "I want to serve. I want to serve." Some of the things you might have a desire to serve Jesus or his church in doing. Thank you, Father. You're good. So take a moment and do that. Even if you're still already serving, and I'm going to continue serving. Yeah, that's fine. Even if you have a place. I thank God for every person who does. I praise God for every person who's consistently serving. You can fill that out too and just put the area where you're already serving. We know who you are. And those that are not, everybody in the body of Christ is called to serve. Jesus made it pretty clear, didn't he? And he's the measuring stick by which I learned to love, live, and lead like Jesus.